This week's Survivor Recap with PG Law is sponsored by True Car, because if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with a term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, the list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's a true price from True Car. Now you'll know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is opening up his web portal to you. I am Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here. Episode number 4 of Survivor David versus Goliath. And what a treat we have here today, because I'm so excited to welcome this woman back here to the studio. Believe it or not, but this is the third time that she is here in the studio, and please welcome the great PG Law is here. PG, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me back. Hey, guys.
PG, so nice to have you back, and this is so wonderful. I do feel like, though, that there is a 400-pound elephant in the room that people keep hitting me with this same attack, that there is maybe a PG Law curse.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Because this is now the third time in a row that I have you here in the studio on the podcast. And this is the third time in a row that we are talking about the departure from an Asian contestant on Survivor.
And an Asian female. Every goddamn time.
Well, wasn't it James Lim last time out?
No, the last one I did was Simone.
Yeah, no, but I feel like that. Did you talk on the voicemails? I think for James Lim, which week was it?
Oh my God, I don't remember.
I don't even remember.
Well,
I thought
the first one I did was when the first one time I came here, it was Mari had just gotten home.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And then the second time I came here, it was Simone.
Yes.
So I don't think I did James's.
I think you were here last season when James got voted off.
Was I? Oh my God. You know what? Probably.
Oh no. This is the fourth time in a row? Oh my God. I didn't even realize
And I should have known, because this is episode 4, and in Chinese, 4 is a really bad luck number.
Yeah. Is that right? Is that right how this is all gone? Okay. So let me just go back to our text exchange about
this. Read the text exchange.
Because people I've seen on social media, Rob must have the boot list, because he must have seen, B is out fourth, so better book PG, because there's no way, because you would have so much insight to say what happened to B. And so, well, she got medically evacuated, okay, everybody? Oh, sorry, quit.
I don't know. I don't think it was a medical.
It wasn't a medical evacuation.
No, okay. She left.
She left. She seems like a nice person, but, you know, we'll call it what it is. But in terms of, you reached out to me. You mm-hmm. said you wanted to do the podcast this season, which I always appreciate, because mm-hmm. I have to chase so many people.
I know.
So I'm so happy when people want to come back here and be on the podcast. Uh-huh. And you said that October is good for you mm-hmm. because you were busy in September. And so I said the 11th and the 18th are open if either work. You said, how about the 18th?
Yeah, okay? I chose the date. And I promise you guys, I am not spoiled. I'm never spoiled. I don't want to know. Like, I chose the date.
And you also don't want it to be your thing necessarily of, hey, if there is an Asian contestant that gets voted off, I put me on the books that day.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to break this curse. I'm trying to break the curse.
So you know what we need to do is next season come in like final six.
Well, read my reply to you. Read my reply.
Yes, you said, I always take the early episodes, LOL. Just my luck, it'll be another Asian crying emoji. That's like the Dr. Mike emoji. I should really start doing a late game recap. Maybe that way they'll stay in longer. How did we know? How could we have known? How could we have known?
And Rob goes, don't put that on yourself. It's not a curse. It's not a thing. Yes, don't do that.
Sounds great. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. You're not a podcast voodoo doll. That was from what date was that from? That was all on
September 5th.
Yeah. So,
all right, next season, Rob. I'm doing late game for real.
Late game. Okay, good, good.
No, I'm not doing any more pre-jury recaps. You better book me in late. If there's an Asian contestant, that means they're going to go far.
Okay. I hope so. So anyway, but nice to have you back here again and to talk about everything from what has been a fun season of the David versus Goliath.
I've been loving it. I've been really enjoying the season. I think the editing has been really good. The people have all been pretty well-rounded and we've gotten to know everyone pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So far, so good. I had a chance to do the double exit interview this morning. I got to talk to B and I got to talk to Natalia.
How are they doing?
I think they were fine. You know, B, if you, of course, you can go ahead and hear that. You know, B sort of explained what was going on with her injury, and she sort of knew that it was not a torn MCL, but she felt like that if she stayed in the game, it was going to be a torn MCL. You seem like I'm sensing that you have more to say about this.
I was just so disappointed that she went out the way she did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I thought she was going to be such an amazing character going in. Like, she's an Asian female, but she's an MMA fighter. Like, how awesome is that? You know what I
mean?
Pretty
awesome.
She was taking on the challenges, and, like, a couple of the times that we saw her talking, she was, like, really being strong for her tribe and, like, hey, don't, you know, she was, like, a strong, tough female competitor. Like, I was really into it. But watching it, I will say I was a little bit bored by her. And this is, you have to
PG, don't say people are boring on a podcast.
I'm going to trigger. Yeah, I'm going to trigger
Rob. Oh, here come the killer bees now.
No. Look.
Buzzing.
You have to take this with a grain of salt because I think that, like, my favorite reality TV characters to watch on TV are the hot mess crazy ones. Mm-hmm. I love watching Abby Marie on TV. I think she's fantastic television. Okay. Yeah. But that said, B is someone that I think would be amazing to be friends with in real life.
Right.
But those people are really steady and rock solid. Not necessarily fantastic TV, but I think she could have done really well. The other thing is, I feel like I could kind of tell her heart wasn't 100% into the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she seems like really dedicated and a fighter, but she was playing very, very old school and
right. Do we know how necessarily she got onto the show? That I feel like that she seems like the kind of person that maybe they recruited. Like, they saw her maybe on Instagram or something. Instagram seems like that's like the place to be if you want to be on Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know.
It used to be in a bar. And be in a bar that like,
bartender,
somebody that works for Lynn Spillman and, like, gives you a card. Now, just be on Instagram.
Right. Well, they used to recruit people off of MySpace.
Off of MySpace. Did you get recruited on MySpace?
I did not, okay. But I know that people have.
But there were people on your season.
So my thing with B quitting is that, like, look, I understand that she is an athlete and she has to protect her body. That's her asset, right? But, like, you know, going into this game, there is a very high probability of some type of bodily harm that's going to come to you.
Right.
You know, and I just feel like she hadn't given it a chance. She could still sit out of challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still be there for the strategic element or other things.
What she said in the exit interview was the way that where the shelter was, you had to walk uphill on the sand. And she felt like that going uphill, she knew based on her body that it was going to be. Look, I don't question it. You know, if her heart's not in it, her heart's not in it. And it wasn't like she was providing amazing television anyway. So if somebody is not super exciting, I hate to say it, then if they want to walk away, I'm fine with it. Whatever.
I guess.
We still got an elimination. It wasn't even like the Pat thing where he got hurt and then we didn't even get a tribal council. If this is how you're going to do it, you know, medically evacuate in the first 5 minutes and then we'll move on with it.
I guess, but wouldn't you want to at least go through the motions and maybe be voted out and get the whole experience and maybe save?
She didn't want to.
And you could save one somebody, you know, an extra 3 days that really wanted to be there. Right.
What are you going to do? She didn't want that. You know, we you could lead the horse to water, but she doesn't want to drink it no matter what you do.
I was a little bit disappointed because she seemed like she had a lot of heart. You know what I mean? But like she didn't even get a confessional talking about it. Right. I feel like the editors were not happy.
I think that the production might have not been happy because that we saw last week where when she was talking about it, it sort of like got the music of her, like to like bump, 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 bump. Like, I don't know what music that is.
Was that clown music?
Sort of like. But then she sort of like got like the like wacky music when she was talking about her injury. And then Jeff.
Oh, the wacky. She didn't get violins.
She didn't get sad music.
She got bump,
she got
bump,
like,
bump.
She's like, well, what are they like? What is, how does she know about her MCL? What does she have? A CAT scan out here? And then. Then Jeff also, you know, was shown last night saying, all right, so that's a quit. And like she did not have like a hero send off in the way that we've seen other people leave the game with an injury. So I think you can sort of like intuit how production felt about a person leaving the game.
Well, I mean, like, because we've seen people fainting, barely able to be conscious or be on their feet and begging to stay in the game when medical's like, no, you have to go. Right. So it, it's tough to see the opposite where medical's like, you're fine. And they're like, nah, but really like, maybe I need to leave. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, for B, like, this is not her day job.
I know. Look, I'm sure she's incredible in person and I understand that she needs to protect her body. So I get
yeah,
it.
Whatever. Okay. All right. And that's probably, you know, all we have to say about B.
Yeah.
All right. But let's talk about the tribal council that was very exciting.
Oh, my God.
Natalia.
That was her final words going off was so amazing. The entire tribal council was I had to go back and rewatch some of it because I was freaking like I was screaming when the whispering started. Like I started freaking out.
It
was so good.
OK.
It was really good.
All right. So let's start with Alec and his decision to flip. And now you in Survivor Second Chances were part of, a team of two, one of two tribes that got sent to three tribes. And then you were the first person out of the three tribe format. So in a way that I'm sure that you can talk about that experience. But this was a question that we had gotten from somebody and I may have left it on the printer. But the question was basically not to bring this up. This is from Mike in Pittsburgh. Not to bring this up, but how does Alec flipping on the Natalia compared to Abby flipping on PG in Survivor Cambodia?
Okay, first of all, I totally thought that there were a lot of parallels and I was getting a little triggered by the whole thing. But they were two totally different situations. Alec was in a good spot with those two, I think, like from, you know, how like the edit made it seem like he was doing really good.
Yeah.
And Abby knew that she was in trouble, right? So it made sense for Abby to flip.
Because similarly, right, you guys had a majority.
We had a four-person majority versus two.
So it was you, Jeff, Wu, and Abby Maria, and then just Savage and Tasha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Abby jumped ship, like probably immediately, right? And then so I guess it really came down to Jeff. And at that point,
remind me, so they both flipped their vote?
They both flipped.
Okay. And then it was just you and Wu were the only people that didn't vote against you.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, because what had happened was like Jeff was in between and he knew that if he did with he knew that it would be a tie. Because Abby was like, I'm voting with Tasha and Savage no matter what. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't want to risk rocks. Mm-hmm. I guess, again, because did he go out with rocks his first time?
Who?
Jeff Varner.
He did.
So that was the thing. He goes.
No, he went on a tiebreaker.
Yeah. So well, it would have been tiebreaker, right?
Right.
He's like, if I go with you guys, he's like, Abby for sure is not voting with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100% she's going to vote with them. And he's like, he didn't want to risk.
Right. So he piled on.
He piled on. But also like Wu got really paranoid and Wu suddenly decided that he didn't want to work with Varner. And he like Wu suddenly wanted to jump ship to Tasha. And it was just like a whole freaking mess. And ultimately Jeff was like, well, I don't trust Wu and I want to be in on this tiebreaker. If these three are completely solid and you only have you and Wu, then, you know, he jumped ship. And I think it was the right decision for Abby. It was bad for me, but, you know, from her game point, it made sense for her to flip. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know that it made sense for Alec to flip. I think the whole like make big moves and what's your resume may have gotten in his head. I don't know. What do you think his reasoning was?
That's a good question that we have not been able to necessarily crack that yet. Just to compare it to the Abby Maria situation, I mean, that she was not necessarily surrendering the majority also. That, you know, there was still Wu and Jeff Varner from the original tribe that you guys started on Takeo. And then... So that's not exactly the same, but this was not only did Alec go from the 3-2 majority, but also Carl is coming back
in. That's right.
So now that he is like clearly in the minority in that group with Kara.
Yeah, he should have waited one vote. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to take charge, he should have gotten rid of either Elizabeth or Davey. Carl comes in, and then if he wants to flip the switch, you know, if they have to go back to tribal again, he should have done it then and not at that moment. I think he got excited to finally, like, maybe do something or have a say because it seemed, you know, it's also interesting because I feel like we did not get a lot of screen time from him before. We didn't get a lot of strategy talk. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm like, who's this guy thinks he's being some kind of strategy god? We'd never heard
Alec
talk about it, you know, before at all. So I'm like, where did this come from? Like, It was kind of just like a bizarre, it was kind of a bizarre move.
Yeah. So did you feel like that either Davey or Elizabeth presented something to him that sold him? Or do you think it was purely anti-Natalia?
No, he got sold. Like, he got sold, like, you know, some like swampland in Florida. And he's like, I'm all in. Like, let me get my life savings out. And we're buying the swampland. Like, you know, because it just didn't make any sense. And I think Elizabeth, who I was so impressed with this episode, I feel like, I don't know if I'm giving her too much credit, but I felt like a lot of the credit goes to her, like planting those seeds of just, I mean, Davey helped, he watered it a little bit. Like, you know, I don't know if I trust her. Like, I don't know if I trust Natalia. And she's like, well, don't you want to be known for making big moves? Which I think Stephen Fishbach pointed out correctly on Twitter. He's like, nobody cares about pre-jury moves, really, like at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But
especially, I kind of feel like being known for big moves is probably more of an anchor around your neck going further along than it is like, hey, I got to keep this person around. They love big moves.
Right. Exactly. You know, and especially when it's unnecessary. That makes people
like, how did it work for Sierra coming back and, you know, being known for big moves?
Right. And being Tony. Chaotic. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
People don't like that. It's like, I want to keep around people that don't make big moves.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, if you can say, like, my back was up against the wall, I had no choice but to make this big move, people can respect that. They're like, well, yeah, you know, you want to stay in the game. We respect that. But just doing it for really no reason, like, he's going to piss off a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
You know, coming back in.
And not only that, his only, you know, main ally, Kara, that he ended up telling her a lie at the tribal council of like, hey, don't worry about it. You know,
is that what they said that he'd whispered to her?
I mean, unless you want to argue that she was in on it also and that she was also, but she didn't vote for Natalia.
I don't think she was.
She seemed like she was surprised. I mean, we saw Natalia turn to her and say, like, did you know? Why are you smiling? What is it? What is this? I said, I didn't. But in next week's preview, she was like, oh, Alec, you know, turn on, unless something is happening in next week's episode that she's talking about. But I thought that was in the context of that she was also blindsided by this vote.
She was. So I guess, because I did see him go to whisper to her during the council. You think so? He whispered her like a false reassurance, which then she relayed to Natalia.
Yeah. I think what I asked Natalia, what do you think that he said? And he told Kara, no, he was just trying to make Elizabeth feel comfortable because they were convinced that one of them had the idol. So I think that and that's what Kara relayed to Natalia, that, oh, no, he's just trying to make her feel better. But they were splitting the votes. So I don't know why that was even necessary.
Yeah, that was.
Because did that strike you as that he flipped his vote at tribal council? Because I feel like that's the only thing that makes sense if he's going to be whispering in Elizabeth's ear. And if you want to blindside Natalia, don't whisper in Elizabeth's ear at tribal council.
Right. No, his vote was live for sure. I feel like if he is going to do that, you should have at least gotten something else out of it. Like maybe forced an idol play. Like don't let them in on the fact that you're switching your vote. Because he must have known like that Davy and Elizabeth were going to vote for Natalia. Mm-hmm. Did Davy vote for Natalia?
So Davy, Elizabeth and Alec voted for Natalia. And then Natalia voted for Elizabeth and Kara voted for Davy.
He should have just voted. Well, so if he knew that Elizabeth was voting for Natalia, but see, they may have gone in trying to vote for each other. Right?
Yeah,
that's why he had to tell them.
So, well, the idea was, as far as Natalia was concerned, that the two people from the original David tribe were going to be voting for each other,
right?
So that's why they could have split the vote.
Right. And so he had to tell. Yeah,
so that's what they were going for.
He had to tell her. That's true. It's too bad they couldn't have flushed an idol out at the same time.
Well, only Davy had the idol, and they don't. They didn't know necessarily who had
that, which person had
it. Elizabeth doesn't even know that Davy had it.
Do you think it was risky of Davy to not play it?
I mean, there's always a little bit of risk to not play the idol, but I think that it was, you know, a good risk because I think he, like, unless he was going to be like just like completely blindsided, that even if this plan wasn't going to work, that it was going to be Elizabeth who was going to be the person who was going to go home.
Right. It was a good episode. Like, and both, I think Davy and Elizabeth played it absolutely flawlessly, like just perfectly, especially for two people who are down in numbers.
Yeah.
And this Elizabeth, this is the second vote she's flipped.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yes, there was she saved Lyrsa.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago. And then here she saved herself this time around.
Yeah. She is really good. Like, just, I think it's just the social game. Like, she was just really good at that social game. She was making inroads with Kara and, like, making those, creating those divisions and cracks a little bit. Like,
yeah,
working the Jesus angle.
and the horse angle. Yeah. It was interesting because, you know, I feel like that Davy was more open to throwing her under the bus, but I don't know if maybe she made Davy feel comfortable enough with her when she was like, hey, I know where the idol is. Come on, come with me. Let's go. I don't know what she was thinking, like, or why she thought she knew where the idol was, but she took him. And, you know, we've seen in different scenarios before where there's like two people and they from the same starting group. And I feel like go back to like Haley and Beast Mode Cowboy from Game Changers, where they really sort of turn on each other quick. And Davy sort of like turned on Elizabeth under the radar. And I don't know if she really was burying Davy. She was just, you know, stayed on trying to get rid of Natalia the whole way.
Right. And he didn't share with her the fact that he had the idol either.
Right. I mean, did she try to bury Davy at all? I mean, they were sort of like a little bit at tribal council, but I think that they were already on board the plan to vote out Natalia.
No, she didn't. Like, I don't think she really threw him. He seemed much more willing to turn on her than she did on him. Like, her plan to save herself wasn't, I'm going to throw Davy under the bus. It was, I'm going to try to get Natalia. Like, I feel like that's where her mind went instead.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what made her a little bit more likable in this scenario, right? Like, she was trying to help him. She's like, let's go find the idol together. It wasn't like every man for himself. I'm going to go look. If I find it, too bad for you. Like, it was like, let's go together. Like, maybe we can work something out, you know?
Did Natalia do a bad job with this group?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Was it just that she got on Alec's nerves so much that that was the ultimate thing that sealed her fate?
Well, the paranoia is real, man. Like, you know, I think that, did they show a lot of what was coming between her and Alec? And like, I don't feel like we saw a ton of.
Other than he's like a chill bro and she was, you know, a little bit direct about, hey, like, what's going on? I want to make sure we're doing this. Is everybody in on the plan? And then I don't know if he just resented being told what to do or she was talking about the plan too much and that was bothering him, or he didn't like the way she was talking to Davy, or exactly, you know, what was it? And I don't think she knows from my interview.
I think he was enjoying finally being like king of the island, because I feel like in before the Goliath's tribe that he was on.
Oh, that's interesting.
He was kind of like, you barely heard from him, right? There were all these...
The beta.
Yes. He was a little bit beta. He was like, not... What's after beta? Like, I feel like there's...
Delta.
He was like the Delta because you had the wrestler, John.
John.
So you had the wrestler. Okay, and then I guess Dan, who also we were seeing a lot more of, he's flirting with the girls. He's
Lieutenant Dan.
Yes, Lieutenant Dan. So then Alex seemed super like, yeah, like Delta or what, Theta? Like,
so you feel like, hey, this is my my tribe now.
Yeah, he's like, you
That's
know.
That's interesting.
So I think that he suddenly was like, all right, now I'm king of this. I'm king of my small little tribe here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this chick is stepping up. Like, you know, like I'm the one that's going to say who's going or leaving.
She's got too many other ideas. And I'm Alec. And this is my group.
Yeah. So I think he was, you know, growing some balls. And Elizabeth was kind of like putting some manure on it. She's like helping them grow. Like, she's like, come on, man. Like, she's like, step it up. Like, aren't you sick of being like second place? Like, don't you want to do something really amazing? So I think all those things kind of just came together. It was bad for Natalia.
Yeah.
Like, I get her because I probably would have been her in that scenario. Like, you know, I'd have been like, no, I get to be queen now. This is amazing. Like, new tribe, like, all those other, like, big personalities are gone. Like, I want to rule the roost. So it may have come down to that.
Yeah. Because that tribe that you were on in Takeo, I feel like, was such a, like, personification of these two different ideas about Survivor, of, like, the beach people versus the shelter people.
Yeah.
And it did feel like that Natalia was one of the beach people, and Alex seemed like one of the shelter people.
Yeah, he was probably pretty chill. And, well, but then he got sold.
Was he, like, the new Vetus?
He got sold the let's make big moves game, though, right? Like, you know, I think he's a shelter person that got sold like a vacation to the beach is what happened. They were like, I know you're playing kind of old school, but don't you want to be seen as strategic? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to be kind of a new school player who's, you know, going to win with some cool strategy? Like, this is what you got to do if you want to be that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know that it was a good move for him, but... You know, he got sold something.
Were you happy that they switched up the tribes, or would you have liked to have seen the Davids and the Goliaths battle it out for longer?
I think it's good that they switched up the tribes. Like, when you're out there, you hate it. It's the worst thing in the world. But I think watching it is good. Like, it was, you know, it was getting a little to be too one-sided in the story. While it was fun, was getting a little bit stale with, like, oh, these guys are the underdogs and they're losing, but they have a lot of heart. And then these are the big bad, you know, Goliaths, and they're winning everything. And look at them, like, laughing from their golden throne. And, you know, it was fun for a little bit. But after a while, you're like, they're real people. Let's see them mix it up and see how the new interactions go. Like, you know, so I like the new tribes. I thought they were pretty fun.
So Carl was the person, he got sent to exile and he got this idol nullifier. Do you like the idea of the idol nullifier?
I do. I think that it's so powerful, but it also has to be used in such a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's kind of a really fun notion. It reminded me of this. I've been playing this game called Avalon.
Okay,
lately.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
It's like a mafia style game. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, people have different roles and there's good guys and bad guys. And one person's the assassin and they have to find, like, the one person to kill.
Is it on computer or this is in person?
In person. It's like a card game. So basically, it's like having to correctly identify, you know, who has the idol, like, who they're going to play it on. So it's about, like, staying quiet. It's this whole, he's got to go into, like, this assassin mode, right? Like, stay quiet, just keep an eye out, like, who's going to play what. Like, you could change the whole game around, but you've got to have a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, it's a tough thing to be able to do without sharing that you have the nullifier. I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Well, it was, I think, was it said in the episode when Carl found the idol that he talked about how that, you know, this could be his slingshot against the David? Was that? He said that, right?
Yeah.
But I think that it is interesting that, you know, that he does have this weapon here where potentially, you know, this could be something that is this unexpected thing. a la David Slingshot to potentially, you know, take down a giant later on in the game.
Well, I wonder if it's and it's not one of those things that could be gifted. If it's not like a legacy thing where if you leave the game, you can give it to someone.
No, I don't think so.
So it's just if he doesn't play it, then it's...
I think that's it.
Interesting. And I wonder if it would be like, you know, because there's so many things you could do with it, too. You could plant the seed for someone to play the idol and then play it to get out the person that you want to. Like, you know, if... Yeah, that's, I think it really adds another element to it. I also really liked how he had to find the coconut floating
yes.
in the waves. I thought that was new, right? That's like a new way of...
That was a new one. Let me see. This is a question that I got emailed to me from Drew, who said, regarding the idol nullifier, do you think that there was an actual possibility for the coconut to wash away, or was it pretty much determined that Carl was going to get that advantage? Seemed kind of odd to me. The new advantage that they hyped preseason might not have ended up in the game at all. So you've been out there on these beaches. So coconuts, would the undertow take them out to sea, or if coconuts are sort of on the shore, they're going to, you know, wash up on the beach?
Dude, I'm not like a maritime expert.
I thought you were. You're not?
I'm expert on the currents and wind patterns. Well, you know, I think that area, they were a bunch just kind of eddying around in the tidal pools. It also looked really dangerous, like, because
it seemed like it was getting a little rocky and rough,
like you get bashed against the rocks. So I thought it was fun, and it was also hilarious because he's like it's a coconut, and then he turns the corner and there's like 1,000 coconuts just laying there. It was good, but then I think they showed it just, it was actually washed up on the beach, so it wasn't like out in the water where he was looking. It, I don't think it was anchored down. I think that it was just kind of on the beach where it may not have washed away unless he got really unlucky and didn't find it in like the next couple hours.
So we went from two tribes to three tribes, and then we had so this new third tribe which came up. And when this happened in Survivor Second Chances, we saw how much the Angkor group struggled. And so I think for the next couple seasons, we're like, oh, well, don't forget, somebody's going to become a new tribe and that's going to really set them back. That's going to be so hard. Why did Angkor struggle so much and none of these other new third tribes that have to start from scratch? It doesn't seem like any of them have missed a beat.
Did they show like that they had nothing, or like did they get...
Jeff says, well, you're going to have to build a new shelter. But, you know, I think that we saw it last season, and I think that that tribe that was the new tribe, I think that was the one with like Chris Noble and Wendell and Sebastian and Jenna and Laura, that I don't think that they even went to a tribal council. Then I think that in Game Changers, I think that happened, and it was like...
Was it again they had no shelter
deal.
And no food?
I don't know. And then in Millennials versus Gen X, I think that was Ikabula. I think that we'll talk to Sunday Burquest on the feedback show. Get your voicemails in for that show on Friday. But I think that was like they didn't really struggle either.
I wonder if they were given like...
You think it was so hard for Angkor that they have upped the supplies?
I think that's a possibility. Like it was really rough where we were just... And it would have been... Maybe it would have even been fine if the camps were equal, but they were not. Like I said, the first camp that I was on was all flat ground and nice soft sand, and the second camp that we were on, it was all hill. So if you wanted to get water, it was uphill.
If you have a bad MCL.
Exactly. I would have probably quit too if I had like maybe tripped twice, like in which I almost did. But like, you know, I think the conditions were really, really rough in Cambodia. Like, and I know they have it bad with the rain and all that, but like, it was just that having to go uphill is such a struggle just to get water. It took like half an hour just to walk to the well, and like getting like even getting the bamboo. It was all uphill, and like it was really, really bad. I mean, and I've done it a few times, and it was genuinely like the worst beach ever. There wasn't much of a beach. It was only about maybe 3 feet of usable beach where the water would wash up and the rest was jungle. Like, so I don't know. And I don't know if they had food. I feel like that would have actually made like the biggest difference, was just the having food and yeah.
So this group seems like that they are doing fine with John and Christian and Gabby, Dan and Dr. Allison.
That's the group that ended up on a new beach.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I want to go back and watch because I didn't see what their camp looked like. Like, I wonder if
yeah
we can see if anything was set up already, or if they seem to have food or anything like that. Like,
it seemed like there was no issue. I mean, we saw Christian chopping coconuts. Seemed like he was like getting coconut chopping lessons from Dan. So seemed like that they had food.
Right. Oh, God. I love that tribe so much.
It's a fun tribe. So are you enjoying Christian so far?
Oh, my God. My favorite, of course.
Yeah.
like everywhere, people are collectively having like a nerdgasm. Like,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and his whole talk about the Charmpocalypse.
Yes.
Was so amazing. And it totally reminded me, I'm going to get really nerdy and like all like D&D again. Like, I'm like, this guy is like an enchanter. Like,
enchanter.
You know what enchanter classes are?
Do you know Stephen Fishback plays a lot of Dungeons and Dragons?
I did know that, I think, a little bit.
He's a dungeon master, they say.
I'm not a dungeon master, but I do know a lot about it, and I play a lot of League. You know, mm-hmm. There was a thing about that, too. So basically, like, what I loved about Christian is that he's self-aware, too. So he knows. He's like, I'm going to turn on the charm, and I'm going to charm these guys. And he does. And then we get a confessional from John showing that. And what I thought was so cool is that Christian didn't have to bro out mm-hmm. to, like, you know, become friends with him. In fact, he went the other way. John did a confessional where he goes, well, I'm kind of awkward, too. And I feel like I could relate to him on like a nerdy, awkward level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who does that? Like,
right. Yeah, I mean, he's so interesting because that he just seemed to like know what his superpowers are, where he like called his shot of I'm going to be so charming that I'm going to win these people over. And so, you know, he is at times, you know, self-deprecating, but he's not nearly as self-deprecating as like somebody like a Ryan from last season, or even as
Gabby.
Gabby, I think that she seems to have more self-deprecating out than she's self-deprecating.
Right. No,
Cochran was, you know, super self-deprecating. And Cochran, his second time around, it was almost like that he was able to charm people the way that Christian is. But the first time around, most of the people that he played with hated him.
Yeah. No, Christian has a superpower. Reminds me, so I played, you know, this game, League of Legends, mm-hmm. like obsessively.
Yes.
And there's this one
still, All these years, still.
And there's this character who she's an assassin and she's got this ability called charm and she throws a heart at you. And if it hits you, you walk towards her and then she kills you. And I'm like, I'm watching this mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's what he's doing. Like they don't even recognize it. And he's able to like turn this macho wrestler into like this, I don't know, like coming on to confessionals and going, I'm awkward and quiet too, guys. Like, so I really relate to him. Like, I could not believe this confessional. Like,
yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
But to me, I feel like that's the, you know, at the crux of Survivor, of being able to do that to people, where, you know, it's all about just making people fall in love with you.
It is. But like, so some people do it by being able to adapt to the situation. So somebody might have like gone in and like saw like there's Dan, there's Johnny. There are these two kind of like good looking buff dudes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna kind of bro out. And he already knew that he wouldn't be able to bro out with them. And he did it just by being himself, which I find really amazing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, but I think he's like a version of himself to everybody. And I think that's sort of like the common thread when you take a look at like all of the great Survivor players, that they all have the ability to do that, of to be this person that's, you know, some version of themselves to each person. And I think that like Suri and Boston Rob and, Kim Spradlin mm-hmm. or Parvati, like, I feel like that they all are able to do that, have that type of ability to make every single person feel like that, no, I'm actually best friends with this person.
That I would say that, like, every winner that I have met, like, when I'm around them, mm-hmm. there's this aura.
Jeremy.
There's this aura that, like, I feel like I'm their best friend.
Tyson is great at that.
Yeah. They're really good at making you feel, like, warm and welcome and, like, you connect to them. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I think Christian is gonna, like, I don't know.
He certainly has that. Does Todd have that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Todd has that, too. I told like right away, like, he's like, hey, PJ, I like you so much. Like, I really want to work with you. We're going to try to get you as far as possible. Like, right away,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're all so good at that. And I feel like Christian really has that. Like, I think he's a good winner's pick. if he can make it to the end.
Yeah. So he's been able to do that. And he's doing that with John, who you mentioned has, you know, the went counterintuitive with us and talking about how he has self-doubt also. And I think that that's very uncommon for us to see somebody that looks like him who is in that role to be able to express that to the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's making a Christian comptroller of Slamtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, you know, okay. He's spying into it.
So I know you talked about the nerdgasm earlier, but what would you rather see? Would you rather see John and Christian make an end run or Christian and Gabby make a run?
Oh, man. Well, but the Christian and Gabby nerdmans is so adorable. Like, mm-hmm. It is so cute. That's a really hard one because I would love to see Christian and Gabby go far. I think they're really, really cute as a little like nerdmans. But then like seeing John talk about like gushing over like Christian, that kind of like it made him grow on me a little bit, right? Like he's showing this kind of like soft, vulnerable side that was really adorable. I would be happy either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be happy either way. I would like to see Gabby go far. You know, Gabby's also half Asian.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I met her at in Florida.
Yes.
An event. And she came up to me and she told me that she was really, really concerned about the curse of like the Asian female curse. Mm-hmm. I think she's half Filipino, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think so. And she said that she had listened to like a bunch of my podcasts, the ones that I did with you talking about. Like, I mean,
do you think that there is something to that, or do you think that it's just a matter of luck, or it's a matter of that there aren't that many minorities cast? And this season, they've done a better job with that. I mean, is there anything to it, or is it just like an anomaly?
I think that I've touched on this before, and it's just about being different and growing up different. So, like I said, if you can get together and talk about like how you grew up with horses and going to church every Sunday. And I'm like, I had my mom gave me like rice and fish for lunch and I can't relate to any of these stories you guys are telling about. That's not going to help you create a bond with these people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that's really the biggest issue is like being able to help set those differences aside.
But why specifically Asian American women? Of any of the different potential minorities, why is that? Why is that one? Is there anything to that?
Well, I think.
And is it getting worse? Because you did good the first time.
I know. I think that the tendency in casting, say like Asian American females, is that. Look, you're probably not going to, if you're an Asian female, you're probably not going to go on a reality show unless you're maybe one of these dragon types, right? Like you've got this maybe domineering personality, opinionated, a little bit bossy. And so they're like, okay, that makes you interesting enough for us to cast you and put you on the show. But then it's a double-edged sword because you get out there and maybe you're a little annoying or you're a little bossy or whatever. And then that combined with being the Asian female and it may, you know, there's kind of like the two stereotypes, right? Either you're like quiet and submissive or you're like this crazy dragon mother or whatever they call them. And I think it's tough when you go out there because guys aren't used to dealing with that. I think a lot of, I don't know if this is a thing, but like maybe a lot of people who are from like the Midwest and don't know a lot of Asian people. And they're out there. Like I travel a lot and I see these people all the time. Like I'm like the first Asian person they've met, you know, and they maybe expect a certain something from us.
Right.
Quiet, submissive. And then we're not. Mm-hmm. And then they're annoyed.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is conjecture. I have no idea.
Who knows? Because you're right that there's not one consistent reason where, you know, Simone isn't voted out for the same reasons as, you know, Mari Takahashi or, any of these people that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think that there is a slight bit of feeling a little bit left out sometimes when, you know, people are bonding and they, again, I remember I felt kind of a little bit like on the outside in the beginning of China. Everyone's doing their dances and dancing and laughing around. And I'm like, you know, we got to build shelter and we got to do all these things, right? Like, I don't know if it's like I feel like I can't relate to them on some level. And so I wonder if that's maybe part of the factor is that you're not sitting around girl talk or whatever, you know, and bonding.
Yeah. But Gabby, you feel like that she can go far.
I think she can go far. I think that she's laying low and she's being pretty quiet. She's got a good ally.
Yeah.
Because she's got Christian as her ally. And I think he's going to go really far and he's making really good inroads. Like he's doing everything like an adventurer should. Like he's got his party like that. He's got like the big, you know, like we call them meat shields. Okay. This is a very D&D term.
I mean, that's a Survivor term too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I mean, maybe Big Brother as well, but yeah.
It's a, well, it's a D&D term.
Okay. Got it.
So basically you have the big guy up front that can absorb the damage while you like cast your spells, like, from the back, right?
Yeah.
So he's recruited a couple of these meat shields, and then he's got someone maybe weaker that might be a target before him, right? So, like, but I think if she tags along with him, he knows that he wants to keep her around as long as possible also, because if she's gone, suddenly he's, like, the weakest one.
We heard about Gabby's self-doubt in the episode where she felt like, okay, well, if we go to this tribal council, I think it's going to be me. And, you know, she wasn't somebody who was like spinning out of control about that, but she did seem like that she had sort of like internalized it. We saw her crying in the confessional. We saw her crying to her ally. But I do think that it was really good that she did not have that breakdown in front of the tribe. Where I think that it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but whereas that she was not, you know, expressing that to everybody, she sort of like was only telling her confidant about that she was feeling that way.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you can't break down in front of the tribe. Like, you know, you're out there and when you're out there, you want to know that the people around you are people that you can count on and that they're tough and that they will make it through. You know, you don't want someone to quit because they're sad or someone who's doesn't you want to know that they feel comfortable with you. Otherwise, they're going to jump ship if they don't feel comfortable with you. Right. So it's good for her not to express that in front of them. Like she needs to be like, I am this new whatever the tribe is. Like I'm 100%. I'm with you guys. Like you guys are strong. I'm into it. Like I think she needs to express that a little more. It seemed like she was just keeping back a little bit and not
because she's
being
been
shy.
Very capable in the moments where she's been tested.
Well, she was amazing in the challenge.
Yeah.
Like so good. I mean, first of all, the challenge was so funny looking, like they're sitting in these little chairs. But she was so good, so calm and just, you know, didn't lose her head. Like I was super impressed, like especially after she had that breakdown.
Do you think that this could be sort of a turning point for her where she was able to help them in the challenge and prove her worth?
Yeah, yeah. It snowballs. It definitely every victory, every little bit, like always snowballs. So now she's got the confidence. She's coming back. Probably everyone's like, oh my God, you did amazing. And now she's feeling good. She's feeling more comfortable with the tribe. So like, and they're a strong, they're a really strong team. Like they've got the strongest guys and the smartest guys on this tribe.
Yeah.
Like, so it seems almost unfair to the other tribes, I feel like.
Did you have any moments like we saw with Gabby in this episode where you were really experiencing that kind of self-doubt while you were out there?
Did I have moments?
In either season? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Constantly?
Like, every day.
Yes.
I cried every day, like, in Survivor China. The very first time out there, like I said, I remember everybody getting along and, you know, bonding. And I'm just like, who are these people? And like, we lost the challenge. Like, it's demoralizing. I felt like it was my fault, you know. Yeah, it's a really tough place to be in. And then, of course, like throughout all of China, I was basically like kind of underdog the whole time, you know. So like, I think luckily I'm actually not one of those. I'm self-deprecating, but I'm not really self-doubting. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the thing. If I was self-doubting, I don't think I would have made it through China the way I did when no one's on your side and everyone's actively like rooting against you.
Yeah.
It's really tough. Like you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself to get through something like that.
I wish I would have had more self-doubt in the second time I played.
I think had I been
talking to the group and been like, you know, having a confidant of like, oh, I suck so bad. Are you guys going to get rid of me? like, I think I've heard that, like, maybe that would have changed people's, like, I think that because coming in, with a target, I think that having that something that maybe could have changed people's minds.
Yeah. Or being paranoid too. Like, I wish I was more paranoid in Cambodia, right? Yeah. Because I was like, it's Abby. I'm like, to me, it seems obvious. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I didn't spend enough time really like questioning things. So of course, being confident isn't good. To be honest, I prefer playing from underdog position because when you have too many choices, when you're in a good spot, you almost have too many choices. Like Alec, he's like, well, I don't know. You know, there's too many choices here, right? When you're the underdog, you have no choice. You're going to just try everything. You're going to blow everything on that one opportunity. And if it pays off, great. If not, you had nothing to lose, right?
Right.
It's more fun.
It's kind more
of
fun.
Playing with nothing to lose because you don't regret anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in a good spot, it's really hard to make big moves when you're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
And that's something that I really regret from the second time that I got to play where I didn't know I was in a bad spot. Like, I think it actually would have been really fun if I would have like known on the beach that day, like I was going to get voted out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, let me throw everything at the wall. Yeah, it's sort of like, in a football game where it's like you're down by two touchdowns with a 3 minutes left. It's like, all right, let's just, let's go for it.
Yep.
So I want to talk about the other tribe, the tribe that is on the new Goliath Beach, the Purple Tribe. And I want to just get into talking about Napalm Natalie a little bit. And you've played with some difficult personalities in your time on Survivor, whether it's an Abby Maria, whether it's a Dave Cruiser.
Crazy Dave.
Whether it's a Jean Robert.
Yep.
So you've been around a number of people that are not necessarily going to be, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Congeniality.
Yeah.
So what has been your reaction to Natalie this season?
Man, I mean, she's entertaining to watch. I'm glad we have her on the season. It's sometimes I just want to reach through the screen and just shake her. Like, women, calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, calm your tits. Chill out. Like, we don't need to sprinkle the Natalie napalm everywhere. Like you have to use it sparingly, you know, because the other thing is, like, it gives everyone else, they unite around having a common enemy, right? Like with Dave Cruiser, like I actually ended up, I think what helped me was Dave helped me in China because I bonded with the other people who weren't crazy. So it was like me, Jamie, Frosty, and Eric were all like I could tell that they were like the chill, level-headed people. Sharia was fighting with Dave and I was like, you know what? I'm a calm, collected person also. So like, hey guys, I'm going to be part of your group and I'm going to hate on all of this with you. So it's good to have that as a common enemy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the interesting thing was that maybe that bonded the Goliath group together, but then she didn't get a vote except from Jeremy at that tribal council. So maybe that they were somehow united against Natalie, but then when push came to shove, they all voted for Jeremy.
It's because he's playing hard and it was the same. Look, it was the same reason why, like, Abby Maria stuck around for so long, right? Mm-hmm. Natalie, I have a feeling, is actually going to go pretty far.
And you love Abby Maria now.
I love watching her on the show.
Yes.
Don't you start with
I'm
me.
Trying to help you.
I will say that, like, I think people also look at her now and they're like, she ain't winning. Mm-hmm. She's not going to win, so we don't have to worry about voting her off for a while. She's probably not going to win challenges. Mm-hmm. She's not going to win immunity in the future, so maybe she's safe to keep around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everyone at camp, though, is being really chill with her, like, micromanaging and bossing everyone around. Like, that whole montage was amazing. She's in there. She's like, all right, you go get the wood. You got to get the water. Like, let's get the shelter going. Come on, people. We don't have all day.
She said last week, look, I don't have all the answers, but I do have most of them. So she does seem like she knows what she's talking about.
It's, you know what? It is working for her. She is still around. So, I mean, what can you say?
Mm-hmm. Do you think she is gone sooner or later? Let me put a finer point on that. Will Natalie make the merge? Because coming in, I felt like that this was the part of the game where I felt like that she might be okay, because I felt like that the Goliath tribes was going to win and they could sit her out of challenges. But now she has to play in these challenges unless it's do they sit somebody out now in these three? So they won. Is it for, you know? Oh, no, because Carl is coming back.
It'll
she got
again.
Screwed by Exile Island. So she will have to play in the immunity challenge.
Is she bad at challenge? Has she been, like, performing poorly?
Well, I'd have to go back and take a look. That the one time she was really tested was on that four-piece puzzle.
I think she gets frustrated easily.
I don't know if I have enough small sample size to be able to say that.
I think in this last challenge, she was like, I think I don't remember who it was in the chair, but yeah. She was like, Natalie, she's like, I've got this. Just listen to me. You need to calm down. Because she was like, kind of getting a little bit stressed.
Was it Angelina?
Yeah. Yes, I think it was
okay.
Angelina.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
She was being very calm during that challenge. Like, mm-hmm. It was, like, good on her. Because, like Natalie was freaking out and she was like, I need you to just calm down. Like, I will guide us through this. Like, mm-hmm. Just relax, you know?
Yeah.
So who else is on that tribe? It's...
Mike White and Nick and Lyrsa, who we didn't hear anything from for the second week in a row.
Nick. Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you think that alliance came together, like, super fast?
What, the rock stars? I mean, yeah. we'll give people a gif.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. But Nick is very fast. He's a fast worker on these alliances.
Well, you know, and also Mike White was... super smart. He was like, do you want to have an alliance? And he was like, yes, I do. And that mm-hmm. is, as we know, that is always correct
well
answer.
Done. Are you a fan of his work?
Mr. Schneebly, yes.
Yes, you like it.
Yes. It's the, oh my God, I can't even, I'm like, it's one of my favorite movies. Rock.
School of Rock.
School of Rock, yes. Yep. It was one of my favorite movies. Mr. Schneebly. So, you know, and I haven't seen some of the other things, but I like what I see of him on the show so far, like mm-hmm. really good narration.
Well, for appearing on the podcast today, we're going to send you home with a Blu-ray copy of the Emoji Movie as well.
Is it? Yay.
Yes. There you go.
Ding, ding.
You can check out some of Mike's more recent work as well.
All right. I haven't seen him on Amazing Race. Was he...
I have not either, but I hear it was he's very fun. People like him.
I like him very much. I like him very much on Survivor. He's really good. Like, he's got really good confessionals mm-hmm. and I think he's a good player. Like, I think he's a really good player because he could have come off as like the weak old dude or whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And instead, like,
how old is Mike White?
Maybe late 50s?
50s?
No?
I have no idea. I mean, you could tell me he's 30 or you could tell me...
No, you couldn't.
Like,
no.
Let me see. How? We'll get to that. I mean, okay. So what? You guess. Let's see. Give me your official guess.
55.
So he is 48.
Can we cut this whole segment out?
I wish we could.
Oh, man.
Okay, 48.
Yeah, it looks good for 48.
Yeah.
This is super good.
Super good. So.
He's only 8 years older than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we could talk more about that in a little bit. Yeah, but I have my 40th birthday this weekend.
Big birthday coming up.
I know. I'm jealous that you went away for your birthday.
What did I do? No, I was here.
I thought you were going on a trip.
No, I was here. Oh, okay. I was here. I just kind of slid into it. I didn't do like anything too big for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk to you about ideas for as we because I don't know if I'm doing enough stuff, but we'll get there. So. Nick is very fast at making these alliances, and he gives alliances names. Were you in any named alliances?
God, I feel like I must have been.
Other than the shelter people or the beach people?
I was in an alliance with Jamie and Eric and Frosty.
What was it called?
Jesus, something dumb that Jamie named.
You know, Sharia was at the live know-it-alls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's she doing?
I don't know. I didn't really get to talk to her. And I'm not sure that I... And she came and she was there and I saw her. And then Bryce was like, oh, this is Sharia. I'm like, oh, my God. And then... But then I never saw her again the rest of the night.
Oh, I haven't seen her in a long time. Like, it's been a while. It's been a while. She should come out to some events.
Yeah, and I said to Bryce, I was like, hey, does Sharia want to come up on this? I don't know why he's her handler. But I said, does Sharia want to come up on this? And he's like, no, I don't think she wants to come up and talk.
Oh, well, you know.
So I hope she like had a nice time and didn't like leave in the middle or anything like that.
She's like, ah, this sucks. Like, I'm going to go home.
Like, all right. This isn't what I thought it was.
No, I haven't. We chat a little bit like on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jamie named it something like the hot. It was something about being hot, like the hot some force. I don't remember. It
like
was
the weather in China.
No, like.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. After the weather.
Okay. So did you give your official answer on Natalie is going to make it to the merge? I don't want to let you off the hook.
All right. Versus Nick. I don't think Nick's. Okay. So let me see. If they go to tribal, I don't think it'll be Nick. I don't think it'll be Mike. It's probably not going to be Angelina. And then who was the other David that ended up on there?
Lyrsa. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think she can make the merge.
So Natalie will make the merge.
I think she can make the merge. Like, because if, okay, look, if they go to tribal next, like, who do you think they would be likely to vote out on that tribe?
From that tribe?
Maybe Lyrsa?
Maybe. I mean, it could be her because the Goliaths do have the advantage.
They have the advantage. And I feel like Nick has his in with Mike. And so the other thing was Mike was not really playing him. I mean, a little bit. Mike's like, I like him. I feel like I could work with him.
Well, Mike doesn't really have a ton of stuff going on right now. I mean, that we saw him, that he was close with Jeremy, and then Jeremy's gone. So what else does he have? I mean, he wasn't in the group of six. I mean, one of the things that we saw like 2 weeks ago, and I think that people really felt like it was going to have a lot of legs, was that the women got together, and the women were saying it was Angelina, and it was Natalia, and it was Kara, and it was like, okay, well, here's the move, that the three of us women, we're each going to get a guy, and then we're going to control this six. But if you recall that the guy that Natalia was supposed to have down pat was Alec. That was her number. She was tasked with him.
Oh, man. Well, she was not a very good handler then.
Yeah. And I have to go back and take a look at listen to the exit interviews. I'm pretty sure that Jeremy was saying that was one of the showmances that he was when he was outing showmances left and right. I have to go back and listen.
But isn't one of the showmances now Mike?
Yeah, different people. Yeah.
Am I going to spoil it? Like, but isn't he linked with Kara also?
I don't know. I've seen some reports that might suggest that.
All right.
Yeah. some postings that could suggest that.
Right.
So
I think that Natalie needs to play her cards right, because if they go to tribal council, there's a possibility that if she's so annoying, they might just work. The Davids might work that crack and get her voted off. Otherwise, I think maybe it'll be Lyrsa. Because I don't think Nick's going anywhere. I don't think Angelina's going anywhere. I don't think Mike's going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't see anything about Lyrsa. It doesn't necessarily mean that we don't get a swerve from if that group goes to a tribal council. Yeah. But we'll see. All right. So I want to start to take some questions from the audience. And then we're going to attempt to do something that we've never done before here with a guest, I don't think, is we're going to attempt to take some phone calls as well. So we'll see what people who are listening, hopefully they don't, call and ask things that we've already talked about. But we're going to try that in a little bit. Okay.
All right. I'm always your guinea pig. I think I did your first video podcast also.
Yeah. When we moved, we changed the room around. I've changed the room around in here like, five different times.
It looks fantastic.
Thank you. We're getting there.
If you guys are only listening to the audio, you should watch the YouTube, because the studio looks really
professional. Assuming the computers don't crash and we end up making it through the podcast. But yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, PJ. Well, you're such a good sport, because you're easygoing, where you don't come in here and be like, what the hell is this supposed to be? Come on, let's go.
Where's the green? Where's my dressing room, Rob? Where's my makeup?
What? This isn't working? You said that this would go off without a hitch. So I appreciate it that you are, you know, a very generous guest.
Oh, it's always, it's fun. It's fun. It's a fun time.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, so let me just thank a sponsor before we get to taking the questions. Friends over at Lisa Mattress. PG just started sleeping on a Lisa Mattress. They sent one over here. Nicole and I opened it up. It's amazing. You're always like, how did it fit in here? And it is so soft. We love the new Lisa Mattress.
All right. Is it one of those? Is it the foam, the memory foam?
Yeah, foam, L-E-E-S-A, not Lirsa. Some people think that it's called the Lirsa mattress. And then we're like, excuse me? No, it is not the Lirsa mattress. Lisa mattress. And if you are forgetting things, making mistakes all over the place, you got to get a better night's sleep. The right mattress is the difference between resting and just laying down. The Lisa mattress is the product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing, comprised of three foam layers that provide cooling, pressure relief, body contouring, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree the Lisa mattress gives them the rest that they need. Order your Lisa mattress online. They've got a great offer for our listeners. When you go to lisa.com/RHAP, promo code RHAP, first you can try it risk-free for 100 nights, ships direct to your door in the convenient box with free shipping and free returns, and then you've got up to $160 off the Lisa mattress and $235 off the Sapira mattress. That's the luxury version with free shipping at Lisa mattress or lisa.com. Enter promo code RHAP at checkout. That's Lisa, LEESA.com/RHAP, promo code RHAP. Find the right mattress at lisa.com and get the rest you need tonight.
I'll tell you, a good mattress is the one thing I missed the most when I was on Survivor.
Yes.
Like, honestly.
Sleeping on the bamboo is bad.
Yeah, it's worse. It's worse than not having food. I would have taken a good mattress over, like, food.
You know, we got a mattress at one point, and then one of the other players had said, it was a sad story, because in the auction, we had gotten a mattress, and it was like the most amazing luxury that you could have out there.
Right.
And then we had the family visit, and they gave us wine, and then one of the contestants got sick.
No.
And soiled the mattress. And it was then
soiled from which end?
The most unpleasant one. No. Yeah, yeah. And so, and that was it. And that was it. So easy come, easy go.
No,
with the Survivor Award.
Oh my god!
It won't stop.
You're like, why won't it stop? Stop it.
Yeah.
They didn't. Did they air that?
They didn't turn it into a whole story. They didn't turn it into a whole story. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's start to take some questions here from the listeners. And so let me take one from... this is from... let me start off with Josh Wiggler, who says, as always, no question, but do say hello for me. So hello, PG.
Hello, Wiggler.
Hello, Josh Wiggler. And then one of our listeners, Noah, wants to know, do you want a Wiggler's Wombat's hat?
I've been asked this multiple times now.
Yeah. Did we give you one last time?
No.
Do you want one?
Do I want one?
I mean, I can give you one if that's something that you would like.
I'll wear it. I'll wear one.
All right. There you go. Now, okay, this is a follow-up question. You're not going to set it on fire, right?
Do I need to set it on fire? Does something magical happen?
No, nothing magical happens if you set it on fire.
Does it burst from the flames? Like, does it, like the phoenix, will it rise again?
It doesn't. I think I heard you have to pour gasoline on it get it to light on fire. You don't light it on fire. You shouldn't get it. You shouldn't get to keep it if you light it on fire.
I'll wear it when I go running, and I will not light it on fire. Okay. Has that happened before? Does it get lit on fire a lot?
Not very often.
Oh, okay. On occasion.
On one occasion, it happened. Okay. Edward Morris wants to know, you survived the longest from your original tribe in China. How hard is it to find the cracks? So if you are in a group like you merged into and down in the numbers, you know, how do you find those openings?
It's usually pretty obvious when you're out there. You can tell who's tight with who and who is amenable to, you know, jumping ship. It's just being able to reassure them enough. like I said, right away, I could tell that Todd, Courtney, and Amanda were tight. And in fact, Jamie told me that she overheard them talking about being in alliance. So, you know, like I went in with that information already. And again, like I said, you could tell just observing the interactions, you could see that like Denise and James and Jean-Robert were kind of on the outs a little bit and they stuck to themselves more. But you have to be able to give them something solid, right? Like James had told me after the game, he's like, if you had given me a solid set of numbers, he said that he would have joined us. Like, so like he said, if you knew that you had Frosty for sure, I would have jumped over to you guys because he knew that he wasn't in tight with Todd and Amanda and Courtney. The problem is that James and Frosty went out on a boat to talk to each other. And James was asking Frosty if he was still with like me and Eric and Jamie, and Frosty thought he was being tested. So he said, no, I'm Fei Long. I'm with you guys all the way. And it, you know, and it was this whole thing. And he came back and James was like, well, you didn't have Frosty. So I, you know, I just stuck with my original alliance instead of changing over to you guys. Like,
so you want to make sure that the people that are in, that are looking for cracks are all on the same page also.
Yeah, you have to cover all those exits. But my problem was at when we merged, like a bunch of my alliance mates came up to me and they were like, you are playing too crazy. You need to lay low and sit back and let some of the rest of us do a little bit of talking. You're going to put a big target on you because you're trying to do too much and talk to too many people. You know what I mean? So like I had to sit on my hands a little bit and it was really difficult. And then after that happened, I was like, this is what happens when you don't get personally involved. It's that's I think that is a very fine line to balance between, you know, wanting to make sure you have covered all of your bases, but not being seen as playing too hard, which has been a death knell lately for a lot of people.
Right. Because it's also very easy to come across as like the Troyzan of, you know, sort of the person who is trying to get in and is getting a little bit like, you know, the this is my island and, you know, being seen as somebody who is like an antagonist to the group because you can make everybody else feel closer together.
Right, right. Or someone like Jeremy got voted out for playing too hard in the last episode, right? Like, you know, so you have to strike that balance between playing enough and not too much that it's going to put a target on you. It's tough. It's a tough thing to know.
Okay. Melanie wants to know, will Davey, Elizabeth, and Carl stay David strong since they weren't aligned on the David tribe and spend the last few days throwing each other under the bus? So do you think that the three Davids will stick together now in this group of five, even though they were on opposite sides of the Lyrsa / Jessica vote?
I think that it makes sense for them to do that, at least through maybe the next vote. You know what I mean? Like, if I was them, I would maybe get rid of Alec next.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's a big, strong guy. He's, you know, thinks he's pulling the moves. Like, so I don't know. Like, I would maybe get rid of them. They need to team up together at least one time. And, like, they, I think all of them at least have some allies on the other tribe still. So if they're like, we got to make it to the merge, like that's what, you know what I mean, you have to just do whatever it takes to get to the merge.
So my question for you is that instead of throwing each other under the bus, should they be throwing the next challenge? Should they be pulling a PG special here? This is the one group now where the Davids have the majority. Next time out, should they throw the challenge and then vote out Alec and then do it again and vote out Kara?
I think it's too early.
Too early? What's the difference between this and China?
In China, I did it on the cusp of the merge.
I mean, it was day 10 when they switched, and then it's
going to be... How many people are left right now?
There are now 16 people left.
And so what? They'll probably merge at...
I mean, if they merge at 13, I mean, then, well, I mean, if you are... part of this group where you're Davey, Elizabeth, and Carl, I mean, whoever you're going to send to tribal council, that probably a David is going to go home because the Davids are in the minority in those other groups. I think this is the best move the Davids could make.
That's true. So, but they'd have to lose the next two challenges because if they boot the next two Goliaths, then will the numbers be even at that point? Nope. No, they'll still be down.
They will. So right now we lost then Natalia and we lost Jeremy. So that's eight Goliaths and then there were seven Davids left.
right now?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, so if they...
Because we've lost Pat, and we've lost B, and we've lost Jessica.
That's right.
Yes. So they could actually take over the numbers advantage if they go ahead and then vote out the...
That's true. That is
next,
true.
The next two.
Do you think it's very likely that they're going to merge at 13?
I mean, that's what they've been doing, I feel like.
For the past, like... however many seasons.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think back to what they did. Yeah, they've merged to 13, and then Chris Noble was on the jury. But then I'm trying to think back to with Jessica Johnston. That was an 18-person season, I think. That's what the issue was.
Well, so, you know what? In this case, I think you're right. If the numbers work out, it may behoove them to pull
a PG
special.
PG, pull the trigger.
We need a PG special coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does Jeff get more mad or less mad now if somebody's trying to throw the challenge? Because he was visibly frustrated when you guys were throwing that challenge.
Very upset. Very upset. With, like,
to vote out poor Aaron.
Well, Jamie was being very blatant also. Like, it was completely unnecessary.
Aaron, what's a Rosenberger? Or
Reese,
that's Ian.
Reeseberger.
Reeseberger. You sure about that?
Yes. Aaron Reiseberger. Reiseberger.
Reiseberger?
I think so. He's like living, you know, he's...
I don't think
living,
I've ever heard that name before.
He's living in Norway with a baby.
Yeah. Let's see. Aaron Survivor China.
I guess
you're right. What do I know? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Aaron Reiseberger. Okay. And he's living in Norway with a baby. Is it his?
It is his baby, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I assume.
All right. Just, there you go.
That's it. The Aaron Reiseberger update via social media.
Yes. Okay. The chat is correcting me. There's 15 people left now. So there was 16 at one point last night, but then now we're down to 15. So I did have it right that there are three Davids gone and two, but you know, that I don't do Sudoku. Okay.
Sudoku.
Oh, Sudoku.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Sudoku. Okay.
All right. But they should be throwing these challenges. So yeah, I don't care what Eliza says.
But you know what? Like, the thing is they have to throw two challenges in a row in order to make, for it to make sense, and it is so demoralizing. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the worst thing in the world to lose a challenge.
That could be a little boring 2 weeks in a row.
And they have to, otherwise it's not going to make sense otherwise.
Yeah, but they should do it. They should do it. But I don't know who's going to be leading the charge on that. Whether maybe it's Devilish Davey. Does Devilish Davey want to do that? Who's the person saying we should be throwing these challenges? I don't know if it's Carl.
Carl's not. I don't think it's
Elizabeth.
Is it Elizabeth? I don't think Elizabeth is... She seems a little bit straightforward in that sense. Like, she doesn't seem devious.
Mm-hmm. Because,
well, she is, but not in...
It depends, because that for that group, that they have allies from different people, because that it was not like that Elizabeth and Davey and Carl were all on the same page. Davey and Carl seemingly were, but Elizabeth wasn't. But Elizabeth won't want to lose Lyrsa, potentially, who could be a person who's a boot. So
yeah,
Elizabeth,
save her.
Elizabeth could be thinking about trying to save her. And Gabby and Christian are not really tight with Carl and Davey from what we've seen, but are they necessarily, like, would Carl and Davey prefer to have them in the game versus random Goliaths? I think they would.
They would. They would. And also, Elizabeth has been more about working an angle other than trying to vote off her fellow David, right? Like, mm-hmm. she didn't necessarily throw David on the bus. So, you know what? Maybe she will engineer a PG special. We'll see.
Okay. I like the hashtag PG special. Okay. This is a question from Seth Merica wants to know, what would be your preferred role in the local government of Slamtown?
My preferred role in the local government of Slamtown?
Yes.
Oh, man. Can I be the activities coordinator?
Activities coordinator? Is that a political position?
No, it's not. I'm just going to, like, run game night. That's
okay, you're going to run the game night in Slamtown.
Yeah.
What is a popular game in Slamtown?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Can we play Avalon? That's
yes, Avalon. You get slammed in Avalon?
You got to assassinate people. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is from Heidi Hebron Marshall. Is it worse to be gerrymandered or gerrymanthied?
That was some serious gerrymandering. That was the best quote of the night.
Yeah. So, I mean, the gerrymandering implies that there was some sort of a census that was done, right?
I mean, it was, how did it work out exactly that it was, you know, every tribe was like 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. Like, yeah, it was a very good, I felt like it was a very, very good.
Do you feel like that was all random, or you feel like that Survivor wants it to be 3-2, 3-2, 3-2?
I mean, it's pretty random. Like, you've done swaps before. Like, you just reach into a bag. Like, there's no, you know, there's really no rigging these things, I don't think. It just so happened that that's how the cards fell, I guess. So I guess I would rather be, I would probably still rather be gerrymandered than gerrymandered.
What does it mean to be gerrymandered?
I don't know. Booed?
I think that to get booed.
Booed off stage? Is that?
I feel like it's like to go to like Burning Man and like getting like a drum circle.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we have to find out what to be gerrymandered is. Kurt Clark wants to know, the great Kurt Clark, the tabulator, if PG, check him out on the RJPB&B this week, if PG was playing Dungeons & Dragons and Natalie was also at the table, how would she handle her personality and play style as a fellow player?
Wow, there's a lot of levels to this. As a fellow player, like, oh, geez. I want to say that the correct move is to let them lead the charge, and that way they will take all the hits to the face, right? So if they're going to, like, charge, you know, they're like, I want to be the leader, then you're like, all right, you go into the dragon's lair first then, and they will be the first ones hit.
But is that what Natalie does? She's like the person, like, telling you how to roll the dice.
I know. She'd be in the back prodding you with the sword. Like, get in there. You flank her to the left. Yeah, I don't know. I would not handle very well being on a tribe with Natalie. Like, these really bossy people are really tough for me to deal with. But at some point also, you know, it's so bad that, like with Dave, when he was so bossy, you just sit back and you let them be crazy and you use that to form the bonds with everyone else.
But I feel like that, thinking about this, that Dave wasn't necessarily bossy, but he like wanted to do everything, right? It's like that Dave wouldn't be telling you how to make the fire. He'd be like, let me show you how to do that.
Let me
right?
just do well, he would no.
be in there doing it.
No, the worst, he's the worst of both worlds. So he would tell us how to do it.
And say, you're doing it wrong. And then he'd take over. Yeah, like, exactly. All right, get me in there. Let me work on that. Let me work on that. Okay. And then you want to try to take a phone call?
Yeah, let's try. Okay.
All right. Let's see. I think people are shy. People are shy to attempt to do this. But I'm going to go ahead and I am going to go ahead and Corey B., are you there?
I am there. Hey, Robin, PG. How are you doing?
Hey, Corey.
So I just wanted to chat a little bit about the whole 3-2 split thing. First of all, I think I remember hearing from one of the other groups or Twitter or something that they do divide by gender. They ensure that, like, the guys and the girls grab from different trays. Do you guys know if that's true?
You know what? I think there's a lot of theories about that, and somebody needs to go, like, frame by frame on it and figure it out. So I think that they may have done it differently in different seasons, but I don't think that we have any sort of, like, authority of, like, this is definitely what happened.
I'm trying to remember if when, like, to be honest, it happened so fast when I did the swap. I don't remember if there was, like, this is the man's tray and this is the women's tray. But I guess they must have, just to make sure that, like, it's not like one tribe is, you know, all women and the other one's all men. I don't think that it's rigged. I honestly don't. I don't think that they are that invested in who's on what tribe. And it is more interesting to see how the chips fall. And there's really no way, like, you reach your hand, you really do reach your hand into a bag and just grab, like, you grab a buff. And they're all wrapped up. You can't see anything. You can't feel anything. There's, you know, there's no rigging it.
Okay. Corey, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily rigged either, but I do think that it would make sense if they did have two separate trays. I was also going to follow up with, it seems like the 3-2 split, the Goliath, have the advantage over the Davids, but do you think that because of who the Goliaths are and how the way that their tribe is structured, that this is a little more advantageous to the Davids than it normally would be? Because it seems like, and maybe I just have recency bias, but it seems like there's a lot of vulnerabilities within each of these tribes that the Davids can exploit, and maybe more than usual, but I don't know. Is that recency bias, or is there any accuracy there?
I think in any group, there's always a crack, right? Like, so if you just have to be smart enough to be able to find it, you know, that's really what it comes down to. Like in every group, there is that crack. And we've had some pretty astute players this season where they've been able to correctly identify like who it is. And sometimes you don't have to be that astute. They're like, Natalie's annoying. Like, let's bond over that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it was maybe a little bit less obvious with the Natalia vote off, but it was a good play. Like, you know, so that's what makes these tribe swats interesting, because even though it seems really obvious, there are cracks and there are ways to play it and to turn it around. So,
PG, does the fact that it was a 9-1 vote the first time that the Goliaths went to the tribal council, is that almost like that they didn't go to a tribal council because everybody was just on the same page?
I mean,
in terms of the group feeling especially close to one another, because they really weren't sides. It was like everybody versus Natalie, which sort of turned into everybody versus Jeremy. So maybe, you know, in a group where they've had like a 6-4 vote, where you feel like, okay, that's my, these are my people, this is my side.
Well, I think it shows that they've been sitting pretty, like very pretty. And so maybe, you know, the first vote's always a tricky one because you don't want it to be you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if a name gets thrown out and one person is really adamant about it, most people just tend to pile on. Like, it's not me, it's fine. And like, as long as they're not your super close ally and you don't have strong groups together, I think it's easy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Corey, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right. Let's take some more questions here from the listeners. Amanda Rabinowitz, who was on This Week in Survivor History this week, drawing on PG's generally on point fashion sense. What does she mean by generally on point?
Always on point.
Yes. I feel like that generally means like most of the time.
I'll give her that.
Yeah. Which of these total David hunks is rocking the best pink shirt? Is it Carl's fuchsia button down, Davey's flamingo polo, or Nick's pale salmon dress shirt? Which pink shirt do you like the best?
Oh, I did not. You know what? That's so funny. I did not realize that there is, in fact, a lot of pink happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I feel like that's a millennial thing to be wearing a pink shirt.
Well, Carl's not a millennial.
Yeah, how did he?
Is it a David thing to wear pink? Is it sort of like because, oh, they're underdogs. We're going to dress them in pink.
We're just going to demoralize them even more.
That's not a power color for them.
Well, especially considering they got orange. Did they get orange buff?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what's the
it's
worst?
Yeah.
What's the worst color
orange
we can
and pink.
Pair with,
yeah.
with orange? We'll make
that
them wear
doesn't
pink.
Match. Right.
I do like I like the pink flamingos. I'm into the pink flamingos.
Okay. All right. Let's do a question. Phil T wants to know, PG, do you still play League of Legends? You said yes. If so, want to duo bot and crush some nerds? Regards, Phil.
Yeah.
So do you play, like, will you play with fans?
I play with fans all the time.
And how do they reach out to you and let you know they would like to play with you?
So you guys can add me or message me. My gamer, this is so nerdy, my gamer tag is Buttercat Rum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can message me on there. My friends list is mostly full, but I will play games with you, especially if you will carry me out of silver. And you don't know what that means, but if you play League, then you know. The season's almost over and I have 1 month to climb 3 ranks.
Yes, carry you out of silver. So what? There's a silver rank?
Yeah, there's like, I don't even know, there's like 5 ranks. And so bronze is like the lowest rank.
Mm-hmm.
And then silver is like the second lowest. And that's the level I've been trapped in forever. It's like purgatory. It's hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like being in pre-jury and I want to make it out. Like, I want to make it onto the jury phase. Like,
mm-hmm.
Somebody help me. Somebody carry me. Be in my alliance.
Okay, this is a question from John Tinkham wants to know, do you ever speak with Chicken Morris anymore? Is he aware of how much of a legend he's become in the Survivor community? Do you have is there anybody from Survivor China that is still interacting with Steve Chicken Morris?
Damn! Chicken, Steve Chicken Salad?
Yes, Chicken Caesar. Well, I asked PG if she wanted to, any lunch when she came over here, if I could offer her a Chicken Morris Caesar. She had declined.
I have not talked to him. There's a lot. I haven't talked. So from my first season, Chicken, Dave, Ashley, I've never talked to since that season.
Ashley Mazar could weigh in on the mayor of Slamtown. Maybe they know each other.
I know, right? Like, yeah. Hopefully he will last. Well, he's already lasted longer than she has. not a good record for, like, female wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going out pre-jury.
Well, have there been many female wrestlers?
I guess Bea's not a wrestler. She's an MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had any other female?
I don't think there's been another female,
like,
wrestler.
Fighter or wrestler?
Are we counting Jenna Maraska?
She
did wrestle. She wrestled once. So, yeah, the wrestling track record has not been great yet.
No. And have we had other male wrestlers besides fighters?
Are you counting Johnny Fairplay?
No.
Okay. Then, not really. Not really.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So nobody knows where Chicken Morris is.
I assume he's on his ranch with his chickens.
He's on his ranch. David Baltazar wants to know, how was Vegas? Any good stories? So you were talking about that before we came on. Were there any survivors that you met there that you had not met previously?
You guys are going to laugh, but I had not really hung out with, like, Jeremy Collins.
Yes.
Before.
Yes.
So that was like one of the first.
And he's great.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the last nights there, like, all we did was play Heads Up.
You know, okay, that? I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We played a lot of Heads Up. He is hilarious and so competitive.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have it? On your phone?
I do.
Okay. Well, you want to play it?
You want to, like, us play each other right
sure,
now?
Sure, right. Why not?
We can.
I mean, unless you don't want to.
We can, but it's, like, a long thing. You want to do this?
How long is it? It's like a minute.
All right.
The thing, I can describe, and you can guess, and just don't look into the camera.
We can play right now. I wish there was a Survivor edition.
We could make it. I mean, we did the Survivor $100,000 pyramid over the summer. We tried to do that with mixed results. Okay. So is there a specific one you like to play?
Well, we were doing the charades one, which is kind of tough.
Yeah, let's not do the charades one on a podcast.
There's adult supervision. Let's not do that.
No. Yeah, don't get me in trouble, PG. You'll be banned from the house.
All right, you pick. That's so 90s. I have Take It Literally. There's Star Wars movies. There's, like...
Let's do the That's So 90s.
All right. All right, we're showing our age. We're aging ourselves.
Look, if it goes well, we'll do one for the millennials, okay?
Are you going to, you want to give the clues and I'll guess?
Yes, just don't cheat and look at the monitor that we're shooting the video into, okay?
All right,
here. So I'll put the, okay, all right, here we go. All right, that he is a San Francisco Giant home run king, does steroids, pass.
Sports.
This is something if you were going to be shipping a mug so it doesn't break.
Fragile, a box, styrofoam, packing peanuts.
Like a carbonated.
Bubble wrap?
Yes.
Bubble wrap.
Bubble tape. Okay. He was in a war with Biggie.
Tupac.
Yes. She had glasses and
Lisa Loeb.
Yes.
Oh my God.
you would go to connect to the internet and
surf the web. AOL.
Yeah. AOL. This was a show. It is, in between, sixth and eighth afterlife.
What?
Where you go with angels.
Buffy the
Seventh Heaven.
Oh,
Seventh
I never Heaven. Watched. Okay. I never watched it.
I don't know if I don't know if that played on a podcast. I don't know. How many did we get? Did we do good or no?
I think we did pretty good.
Yeah,
we got four.
Four? Okay. Well, look, 90s version is that's hard.
Oh, in the video.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Share the video.
Good. Let me save it. I'll
okay, save
it
the video.
You can put it on your.
All right. Corey in the chat says, "I give that game 2 out of 5 oofs."
Mm-hmm. I know who else I met that I love, Wendell.
Yes, Wendell's great.
He's really good at this game.
He's really good at that game.
Yeah,
better than me? Did you play 90s version, though?
No, we did charades. So we did charades version.
Great on a curve.
Yeah, a lot of... So I just want to do a shout-out for the Vegas event because I thought it was such a fantastic...
You loved it.
I loved it. It was...
Hollywood Gene did a good job.
Yes, thank you, Hollywood and Peter Brown. Organized...
Hollywood Gene from Glass House.
Yeah, yeah. It was an amazing event,
And
guys.
They say people from Glass House shouldn't throw events. Yeah. And he proved
rocks,
it.
But you can throw...
Yes.
He can throw a damn good
he
event.
He proved everybody wrong.
No, it was really luxurious. And we had, like, bottle service and tables and, like,
And you
parties.
Had Survivor roommates.
Survivor roommates. A lot of Big Brother. Like, can really you, cool
who
people.
Who were your roommates?
I roomed with Stephanie Gonzalez and Rachel Lico.
Yeah. And was that fun?
It was fun. Yeah. Those girls are awesome, no, actually.
But did you, like, throw your weight around about, like, let me tell you guys about day 4 on Survivor, okay? Get this. Let me tell you about day 6.
No. Okay. I'm nice that way. But
you were, you know, you got the big bed.
I was very generous, and I took the sofa bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they got regular beds.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I switched off with Steph. Steph switched with me. She's a sweetheart. She came, the minute I took the bed apart, she came over and, like, helped me make it and everything. Mm-hmm. It was fun, and I highly recommend that you guys all go next year. That's my plug for it.
All right. I'll put in the time off request with Nicole now. Say, Nicole, can I go to the reality star party in Vegas next year?
It's a business trip.
We'll
it's see, a working
we'll see
event.
What, see what she says.
It's a working
let's
event.
See what she says. let's see. I've got some PG trivia. Did you know this? That, let's see. PG was the first castaway to finish in 18th place with 3 tribes, but not be the first person voted out.
Oh, okay. Is that good? That doesn't sound good.
Nobody else has that distinction.
Uh-huh.
Okay. PG claims she was cast for Micronesia, but was ultimately cut and replaced by Amanda Kimmel. Is that true?
I don't know that I was cast for it. I know I was in contention.
Okay. Let's see. PG was most recently on the podcast on the Feedback Show during episode 6 of Ghost Island on April 1st, 2018, and recapped episode 2 of Millennials versus Gen X. So, okay, so we can confirm that on September 29th, 2016.
That was Simone, right? Not
That was both. It was both. Episode 6 of Ghost Island, right? Right?
Oh, is that James?
I think so. Was he episode 5 or episode 6? I guess he was, I'm trying to remember who the first person was out during the swap of Survivor Ghost Island. I think they did maybe 3 episodes. Yeah, I think that was right.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Boy. Man. No loopholes here.
I'm doing late game next season. If there's an Asian castaway.
Yeah, we'll schedule it, and then the cast will come out like, ah, damn
PG,
it.
They're like, what?
Damn it. Okay. Let's see. All right. And then I was going to give us another, if we have another phone call, like we can take another phone call. Anything else you want to say?
I think we have covered everything. Is there anyone we didn't talk about?
Ben wants to know, should Alec have handled Natalia more like Christian handled Gabby?
I wonder if he means during the tribal or at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more like he was fine. He didn't need to handle anything because he's sitting pretty. If anything, she should have handled everything better, right? Like, he was being a little bit smug at the tribal council, and I don't know if the editing made him look that way, but that, like, canary-eating grin on his face as she was being voted out was...
She was really mad.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, and he was being kind of smug about it. Like, I remember when I got blindsided.
She's like, why are you laughing?
Yeah. Don't be sorry. Shut up. It was so, you know what, though? Like, it sucks that she was so hurt, but at the same time, it's such good TV because it's so real, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes.
I mean, we're 37 seasons in. It's still a raw, real emotion that we get to watch on television.
Yeah, like you know, like, it's nice that people are going to be like, well played, guys, like, you got me. But, like, that's not, you know, like, it's not really fun, like, to watch people be, like, good winners. Like, I like watching sore losers. Like,
you know, that is fun. Okay. All right. PG, well, great work here today. Always fun to have you back here in the studio. Can we? You want to try the heads up one more time? I feel like I can do better. I feel like I could do better. Unless there's something else you want to talk about, and you want to beat the traffic or anything like that.
No. All right, I'll guess this time. You want to do 90s again, or should we do? Yeah,
or do you want to give and I'll receive? Is that better?
Yeah, we'll switch it up. Switch it up. Should we do charades?
Well, we can't act it out.
Oh, because I know
we're on
audio,
video,
that's
but
right,
people
that's
are
right,
people are
audio.
Driving to work.
All right. We will do 90s again.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. All right. So now I am.
You have to hit play first, and okay. then make sure you angle it.
You know what? You do it because I'm not. Let me describe because I don't know the gestures of like switching.
It's
it.
It's easy.
And
it's down if you got it. It's up if you pass.
Okay. All right. That's it. All right. I can handle that.
All right.
I can handle
and
that.
Then just make sure it's pointed.
All right, it's like a blindfold challenge. Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. Let's point it down a little bit more. Okay. Down a little bit more. Yeah. There you can see me. Oh my God. He was on Seinfeld. He was the neighbor, the tall weird guy.
Michael Richards Kramer.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. He was on Saved by the Bell. He was the annoying nerd.
Screech.
Yep. She was a singer. She wrote Stronger. It's her last name's a bird. It's not a raven, but not a raven.
Pass.
It's a black. Oh God. Pass.
Pass. What was it?
Okay, this is they wore a lot of plaid. Nirvana. It was a
grunge.
Yep. Home Alone.
Macaulay Culkin.
Uh-huh. Pass. It was a horror thing. It was like
Scream.
A scary. It's not the light, but not light, but
dark.
Uh-huh. And you
Dark Passage. Dark Traveler. Dark.
It was. Are you afraid of the dark?
Are you afraid of the dark? Yeah, I feel like we're not. We got to get out of the 90s. All right. Let me try. Let's take one more call.
Only
Brent the Shower Man.
Okay, Brent the Shower Man.
Four.
Canada, we're hitting the ceiling here. Brent the Shower Man, go ahead. You're on with PG.
Oh, hey. Okay, cool. So I was thinking about the way that the tribes are broken down this season, and I was wondering if something like David versus Goliath is going to make tribal lines harder to cross over when the merge happens, because thinking about something like HHH, I don't think that really meant a lot to the castaways after the merge. But
you think there's a lot of pride in people being a David versus a Goliath?
Yeah. And we saw Gabby like crying last night because she couldn't talk to these people that she thought, you know, maybe she has a bad experience with the cool people in her past or something. I mean, is that going to make it harder for her to work with those people? And will we see the Davids try to really stick together down the stretch?
I think that's a good point. It's something that these people seem to have really taken to heart. Maybe probably the Davids more than the Goliaths. The Goliaths don't think they're Goliaths. They think they're normal. Right.
Right. But I think that the Davids, I do think that there could be a situation where, you know, should the Davids retake the majority, hypothetically, and they throw the next couple of challenges and they get rid of Alec and Kara, and then the Davids have a majority like at the merge, and then one of the Davids flips to the Goliaths. I think that person would be like a la Cochran in South Pacific of like, what is wrong with you? Why? How could you turn against your own people?
Your own kind.
Your own kind. The Davids. Is that what you're getting at, Brent?
Yeah. I mean, I think especially that to that point, the Davids were set up to be very sympathetic this year, this season. And I think that they were set up at the audience would really rally around them. So if there is going to be one David who jumped over to the other side, I think they're going to get killed on Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see.
I don't know if the players are thinking along those lines in terms of the social media part of it.
If anything, I think that we're seeing a lot of the Goliaths jumping ship over the Davids, I think is what we've been seeing with like, or at least the edit is showing that. So say like with John, he's shown saying very David-like sentiments. Like, I feel vulnerable. I feel awkward. You know, Alec has jumped ship over to them. So I think we are seeing the edit skewed towards now like making the Goliaths less Goliath-like, and we're going to make them seem more like David so that the playing field is maybe a little bit more even and people don't identify as strongly with those original, you know, tribes.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Brent, thank you for the call, okay?
All right. You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Brent the Shower Man, everybody. All right. And then let's give the last word to
Stephanie Malcolm.
Okay, Stephanie. Stephanie, are you there?
How are you guys?
Doing good. What's new?
Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to talk about what impact do you think crowd watching the tribal council would have on
him
coming into the tribe, because he would have seen what Alec was doing and how that impacted things, but he didn't have any of the backstory of what happened at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I think he must have been like, this guy is a real idiot.
Yeah,
what a moron.
It's really... It really shows his colors and his cards in that moment.
Yeah.
I think it's good for him to be an outside observer. I can't believe he didn't freak out more, because I was freaking out at home. Like,
well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Kara next week is going to try to throw Alec under the bus? I mean, like, hey, vote this guy out next.
I think that would probably be the smart move, because now the Davids have the numbers.
He flipped. You can't trust him.
Yeah.
And Kara has a relationship with Elizabeth.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. I think it's Alec's going to be in a bad spot if they go to a tribal council next week.
Yeah. Stephanie, that's an interesting point.
Well, thanks for taking the call and for answering my question.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling.
Bye. Okay. What did you think of taking the calls?
It was fun. It was really fun being able to chat like with people live, and it went very smoothly.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. All right, so PG, what do you have going on? Of course, people, if they want to play League of Legends, they know how to track you down. What if they want to buy some jewelry?
It's loraderjewelry.com, okay. loraderjew.
Spell that one more time.
Jewelry is like so hard for me to spell every time.
Well, jewelry, people know how to spell that part. It's the first part that we need a second chance on.
It's a low raider, so it's LORADOR. LowRaiderJewelry.com.
What's low raider?
Low raider, so, you know, my last name is Law, right?
Yeah.
But in Chinese, it's pronounced Law. So people spell it different ways. Some people spell it L-O. For some reason, my dad spells it L-A-W.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather went by LO, so it was like it's my grandfather's business.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So check that out for anybody who's looking for what kind of stuff can people find from you?
I do mostly color stones. So if anybody's interested in engagement rings,
I'll put you on. Yeah. Ooh.
So things like this ruby, like this. I do like color stones.
Yeah, I got engaged 10 years ago today.
Oh, really? Congratulations. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's time.
Thank you.
I think it's time you maybe got her a little upgrade.
Upgrade? What? They don't know what tells you about an upgrade.
Well, I'm telling you now.
What do you have to upgrade?
I will hook you up.
You upgrade the engagement ring?
You get an anniversary band or something.
Anniversary? Well, it's not my anniversary. It's the anniversary of my engagement.
Well, next anniversary, you can do an anniversary band.
Anniversary
10 years.
Band.
Yeah, she deserves it. She deserves it. Look what she has to put up with.
Yeah. She's got it so rough.
Also, on the website, you can also, I will plug this too, is that I do like, you know, signed photos. If you guys want like a signed photo, I'll do like a video message.
Okay.
And also,
you're not on the Book Cameo, right?
I'm not on that.
I'm not.
I can be, I guess. I just have it through like the page on my website. And then also, I have these replica jade necklaces of the same. So it's a replica of the necklace they gave us on Survivor China.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got like those for sale, and those will come with like a signed autograph. It's kind of a cool souvenir, like, and it's something that's Survivor related, but not like having to wear a blatant buff around, but you can still, you know, have a part of the show with you.
There you go. All right. PG, great job. Always appreciate you coming in and being here with me in the studio and, you know, schlepping all the way out here. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Yeah. The heads up was fun. And, you have to join me on Escape Rooms next time.
Okay, so you did a escape room with survivors recently, right?
I did. Can I plug? This is my friend's room.
Yeah.
So my friend Tommy has designed a room called Stash House, and it is legitimately the best escape room in LA, and that is like, if you look up like best rooms in LA, it's consistently in like top 10 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tommy is a really, really big Survivor fan, like a huge fan. And he is also friends with, like, you know, Miles, who designed some of the challenges.
Right. And Stash House, the premise is that it's a barber shop where you go and you get your facial hair groomed. Right?
Wrong. You go there and you get...
And you have to find your way out of the barbershop?
You get mustache rides. No.
Yes.
No.
Whoa. Stash house.
Stash. That's a stash house. No, it's where you stash the drugs. So the premise is like, you know, you're about to work for a drug kingpin.
Yes.
And he's testing you. Anyway, it's a fun location. And he was so excited when he found out like some of the survivors wanted to do the escape room that mm-hmm. he designed a couple special like games for just for survivors. So if you guys don't know, an escape room is usually you go in and you work with a bunch of people. You find clues that you have to like figure out puzzles and unlock things. Right.
Right.
And so usually it's like you're working together. So in this one, for example, what he did was he scattered little scrolls that were hidden all over the room. And these scrolls were like mm-hmm. special, and they gave you a clue to a code at the very end of the game that if you won that, you won a special prize. So only one person could win that. So it was this weird thing because it was funny playing with other survivors because like you're supposed to be cooperating in this game and sharing information, mm-hmm. but like all of us are eyeing each other like people are shoving things in their pockets and off reading them secretly. Like,
well, I saw the video in the Facebook group that what happened, like Adam Klein thought he won and then he didn't. And then somebody came in and like sniped him at the end.
Franny, so basically you had to get the code, open the door, and then the first one to touch the skull got to keep the skull, right? So Adam figured out the clue, like he got the code and he opened the door and he was the first one to do it and he was like celebrating, mm-hmm. da, 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 da. And while he was busy celebrating, Franny ran in behind him and grabbed the skull. And that was the rule was mm-hmm. you have to be in the door and first one to touch the skull is the winner.
And just goes to show you, first one out of the game twice gets one over on a winner.
That's right. That's okay. Right. So snipe from behind.
Placement means nothing.
That's right. That's right. It was fun.
Okay. All right. PG, so much fun. We are going to come back. Our next podcast is going to be, I'm going to talk with Sunday Berquist on the Feedback Show this week. And we're recording that on Friday morning, trying to keep my weekend free for my birthday.
Birthday celebrations.
Yes.
Do you have
yes.
anything special planned?
Nicole is, she's planning. I would have loved to like go away. That would have been my dream to just like go somewhere. But between the kids and it's Survivor season, it's really I'm going to Reno next week. So it was not the timing did not work out for that.
Staycation. Staycation is fun.
So I don't know what we're doing. She's planning it. She told me keep the day free. So I don't really know. I don't really know. And, you know, I like to know what's going on, PG. I'll be honest. I don't like to I'll surprise you.
I'm sure it'll be fun no matter what you do.
We'll see.
It'll be good.
We'll see. Okay. So that's what I have going on.
All right.
Okay? Wiggle room to come, but get those voicemail questions in if you've got them for Sunday Berquist. If you're listening to this on Thursday night, Friday morning, and we'll have a fun feedback show with Sunday. And then next week on the show, we're going to have, I'm going to talk to T-Bird.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
Yes. One of your second chance candidate alumni.
Yes. T-Bird. You know, we were going to have a secret alliance.
I think she was like the Nick Wilson of second chances.
She had alliances with everyone.
I think she had an alliance with everybody. I think that's why she was so disappointed. I think she really had, what 31 alliances going into second chances.
Right. And Jeff Varner, too, was working the phones. He was working the phone lines.
So it doesn't always work out, whether you get there or not.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have any alliances going in, really.
Would you do it differently if you had a, what would you have made more alliances? Because I feel like the people always say, like, no, I would have not done any pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming's a tough thing. I think it's not pre-gaming is fine, but not pre-alliancing, mm-hmm. right? Like, you just kind of, like, I wish I'd gone in now because I actually started doing more events after second chances. Before that, I had done no events. Mm-hmm. Like, and I wasn't really that active in the community.
Yeah.
And I was like, and afterwards, it's not like I think I'll go back on.
Right.
But I realized that it's a resource that I had been like neglecting.
Good to know everybody. Right?
Yeah. And everyone's amazing. They're really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most people are fun. Okay. All right. PG Law, thank you again. You got a hashtag for people today?
A hashtag PG Special.
Hashtag PG Special. There you go.
We're going to hope for some challenge throws. That's what we're
Yeah. Well, that's what I was doing in Heads Up. I was throwing it. And you didn't realize it. I was throwing. I knew all those answers the whole time. So So, okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting the edit of this podcast all together. And then I'll be back with Sunday Burquest. Take care, everybody. Oh, and thanks so much to the patrons of Robin's Podcast who were watching us live here today. Shout out to the patrons. For more information on how to become a patron of Robin's Podcast, keep all this nonsense going, Rob has a website.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
See you guys.